Hey, welcome to Careers Without 4 Years. Everyone, this is Lou Spencer. She's a network engineer with a Fortune 500 financial services company. And I'm so delighted you're here to really actually explain to me what network engineers actually do, first of all. Can you tell us?
Sure. First of all, I'm glad to be here. I feel very honored to be here and to be able to share this information. So like Mel said, I'm a network engineer. And what a network engineer is an engineer that works with computers. And it's the type of computers that when you go to the internet, you have devices that allow you to be able to connect to the internet, to send information back and forth. Like even when you send a text message from one phone to another phone, that information is going across a network. And what a network engineer does is that they maintain, build, and we call it from the cradle to the grave. They deploy them, mm-hmm. they maintain them, and they decom them. That's what a network engineer does. That's a high level view of what a network engineer does. So every time you pick up your cell phone, every time you go and you're on the internet, every time you're streaming, the people behind the scenes are programmers and network engineers. Those are two of the jobs that the people behind the scenes of Netflix, the internet, TikTok, YouTube, all of that, cell phones, network engineers are maintaining that capability.
So would you say like you're coordinating various systems together to work?
Yes. So with my particular job, my network engineer job is I'm maintaining pieces of that highway, right? Mm-hmm. So that highway, that internet highway, there are pieces along the path. And what I do is I maintain each hop along the path. I make mm-hmm. sure that all of these connections are up and running. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, that's terrific. I appreciate it. I think that's one of the great challenges in tech is to explain this to people.
Yeah, I can go deeper, but the easiest terms and the easiest way to really understand it is to think of it as like back in the day, we used to call it the information highway, right? So that highway has to be maintained. Yeah. You're doing patches and fixes and, you know, and so I'm the person to do that. If something breaks down on that highway, then you would get a network engineer to go in and see, okay, well, why did this piece of the information highway go down? Like the other day we had an outage, I think it was Facebook. I think Facebook and Instagram went down for quite a while during the day. And the people that were looking to fix it mm-hmm. were the network engineers. It was the network engineers and the programmers that were trying to bring back up Instagram and Facebook. Yeah.
Is that why I have that update on my phone now?
No, the update on the phone was something else. Now, the outage was... The outage was related to something else. Yeah, it's something called DNS. You know, what it was, and this is part of being a network engineer. When you maintain that information highway, sometimes you have to make changes. And sometimes those changes don't always go the way planned, right? Mm-hmm. So that outage, that was one of those things, right? Based on what I've read, is that someone went in and made a change, and that change just brought down everything. Right. And it can happen. That's part of the job.
Yeah, that can happen in probably any job. That's right. Yeah. Well, listen, as a woman of color in this high demand, high paying job, may I say, I mean, how did you find your way? And without a college degree, how did you find your way into this field?
Going back probably 25 years ago, well, not even 25, like 1999, I was working as a customer service rep for a health insurance company. And this is really right before the internet really, really took off, because the internet really started to blow up around 2000 and 2001. And there was a gentleman in my office that was working with computers. And I didn't like what I was doing. I was doing customer service. It's not what I wanted to do. And to be honest, I wanted to make more money. right? I wanted the fancy cars like everyone else. And so I spoke to this gentleman, and he was like, well, you know what? This is what you can do. If you're really interested in this field, this is what I suggest that you do. I suggest that you go and get certified in network engineering, right? And at the time, it was something called a CCNA, a Cisco Certified Network Administrator or Analyst. I can't remember at the time, but it's a CCNA. And I think it was $3,000 at the time. I invested in this course. The course was about a year long, and I took it while I was still working. When I would get off work, I would go and take this class. I took the class in all of 2000, right, while I was working for this health insurance company. 2001, I completed the certification. I updated my resume. I sent it out, and I landed a job. Right off the bat, I landed a job, and that job took it doubled my salary.
Wow.
So my first year with that certification, and I'll give you the numbers. So in the health insurance company, I think I was making about $30,000. And we're talking about 1999, right? So that was okay. Not a lot of money. It was okay, you know, scratching by. So my first certification, or my first job with that certification, took my salary from $30,000 to $65,000 roughly, right?
Wow.
So it dealt, just with a class that cost me $3,000, right? In one year doing it part-time, right? And then after that, about every 3 years, you know, my salary would just double and double and double and double. All just based off of that one $3,000 investment. That one $3,000 investment. Yeah, so I'm very proud of that. I'm proud that I took the chance, right, to redevelop myself, right, or retrain myself and upskill myself, you know, and it paid off. And it paid off very nicely. You know, I've been very fortunate. I've been very blessed just from that $3,000 class that got me my Cisco certification.
That's amazing. And it's so great that you got a Cisco certification, because one thing that there's kind of this gap in the education market for tech careers, right? And it can be a little confusing for people to try to figure out. And I think there's Grow with Google. There are some certifications there. There's Cisco, but normally you're not going to see that at a community college, for example, right?
Correct. Correct. So you... So the way that this, if you're interested, if someone's interested in a job like a network engineer, or if it's someone that doesn't have the funds to go to a 4-year college or even a 2-year college, right? And there's something out there that you're interested in, or you heard or you saw this YouTube and you said, you know what, network engineering, you know, that might be something that I want to do. The first thing that I would do is go to the internet and look up network engineering certifications, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of information out there. There are a lot of courses that are offered from sites like Udemy, A Cloud Guru. Those are the two that just jump out at me right now. And these are classes that don't cost thousands of dollars. There's some classes and training that's out there from Amazon, from Google, from Microsoft, where you don't have to pay anything. You don't have to pay anything. My favorite is AWS with Amazon. I actually got an AWS certification, and that AWS certification I got through Udemy. I went through Udemy.
Wow.
Yeah, Udemy and A Cloud Guru. I took those courses simultaneously. And at the end of it, and it was rough because I was older. So, you know, the gray matter is not quite what it used to be. But I completed it, and I ended up with an AWS certification. And the AWS certification, which is Amazon Web Services,
right,
which is cloud. Everything is moving to cloud-based.
Mm-hmm.
That AWS certification was very, very tough. And I did it in about 6 months. I just totally applied myself, committed myself to it. All my free time was just working on the certification, studying the material. You know, I went through the courses online. I got the books. I went to the internet and looked for, you know, blogs on in study notes and, you know, reading the white papers. And the white papers are just technical documents and thick technical documents. But I committed myself to it and I did it. You know, and it was worth it. It was really worth it. I upskilled myself because I saw the trends changing and internet and the internet of things, you know, and I wanted to stay.
Well, I've noticed that about you. That's part of your story is that you're on top of the trends. And if you would explain to people first, if you couldn't, and I know you can, I'm sure, just what is the cloud?
Oh, the cloud. So the cloud is virtual. Okay. So back in my day, we used to have, and we still have them around. There's servers. Like most people know what a server is. A server is a piece of computing hardware that stores information.
Yeah.
It's physical. It's a physical piece of computer, right? Mm-hmm. That stores information. And that's how it's been for years, up until about, really, I would say around 2015, 2016, it started to change and they started to move to cloud. What cloud is virtual space. It's a virtual server. It's not a physical server. It's all based on programming, right? It's this virtual space where instead of storing information on a piece of physical hardware, now you're storing it in this virtual space, right? This virtual cloud, that's what cloud is, right? So it's cheaper for the companies that use cloud because now they're not paying for servers. Now they're not paying for that hardware, right? Now they're just storing it out there on the internet, right? In this big cloud, right? Cloud, that's not even the biggest trend right now. There are other trends, the artificial intelligence. Like that's the next wave is artificial intelligence. Cloud is pretty much, it's there, it's not going anyplace, it's stable. But the next trend is artificial intelligence. You know how you, if you go to some of these websites and you see a little chat box that pops up, right? Like if you go to any website, you've seen it, right? And there's a little box at the bottom and it says, do you want to chat with me?
Or like a virtual assistant?
A virtual assistant is artificial intelligence.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
That's,
sure.
In most cases, that's not a person. And in most cases, that's programming, right? That's artificial intelligence. You're communicating with this artificial intelligence in a chat box. And it's just like you're talking to a real person, but you're not. You're talking to artificial intelligence. If I were getting into network engineering right now, or IT, right? So network engineering falls underneath the big umbrella of IT, which is internet technology, right? So if I wanted to break into internet technology, I would definitely start with network engineering because that's the foundation. Right. But then I would also make sure that I look at artificial intelligence and that I look at cloud. Right. So I would get my certification. My very first certification that I would get would be network engineering. Right. Because that's the foundation. Then the very next certification I would get would be cloud. And then the next one that I would get would be artificial intelligence.
Wow.
And that's staying abreast of the trends. Right. I would not stop with just a network engineering certification, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because the trend is, and what's current, is artificial intelligence and cloud. So you need to continue that learning process. You don't want to just stop at just one thing. If you really want to be successful and marketable, you need to have the skills for what the companies and the jobs are looking for.
Yeah, that makes sense. And that's such a good... you laid that out so clearly, which is unusual, right? But it's a career pathway where you're constantly upskilling yourself.
Constantly. And if you love learning and if you love the challenge and transforming yourself, then IT and network engineering is definitely the place to be, because it's never stagnant. It's never stagnant. If you stay stagnant, you probably end up without a job, right? So as long if you're interested in it and you like what you're doing and you like to learn, then internet technology, IT, and network engineering and programming is definitely a field that that a person would be interested in.
Well, can you describe to me something that you mentioned that you do when you go and look at job openings?
Sure. So throughout my career, when I started 21, one of the things that I always did, even if I had, you know, a job, which I've always had in IT, I've never been without a job with IT, because it's always been an in-demand skill. But even in a current job, I stay on the job boards like Indeed and Monster.com, and I just do a search for network engineer. And I look to see what the requirements are for that job, right? Yeah. And I compare it to my own resume, right? So by going in periodically, and it's not every day, it's not every week, you know, every couple of months, you know, maybe 3 or 4 times a year, yeah. I'll go to a job board and just poke around and see what the companies are looking for. And I'll just pull up the job and I'll compare their requirements to my resume. If I'm lacking something and it's a job that maybe I might want, right? Then I say, okay, then I need to upskill myself, or maybe upskill might not quite be the best word, but I would add an additional skill to my resume, to my work belt. Mm. Right?
Can you tell me, I'm sorry, go ahead. I was just
Well,
one thing I've noticed is that there is a trend where companies are paying employees to upskill. At this point in your career, is it likely that your employer would step in and say, oh, great, I'll pay for that? Or is that not what's happening?
No, they do. And my company did. My company actually did it. So right when I was getting my, after I had completed my AWS certification, the industry was moving to upskilling network engineers, right? So most network engineers, when they first break into the game, first break into the industry, they just have the Cisco certification, right? Which is based on hardware, right? Okay. The original Cisco certification for my generation is based on hardware, not cloud, right? So back in 2018, when things really started to change and people were moving away, companies were moving away, or the industry was moving away from physical hardware, and mm-hmm. they wanted to move things to virtual and to the cloud, my company offered training for me to upskill myself. And it allowed me to go on a 4-month training course for programming, right? So that I would be able to function in a virtual mm-hmm. environment, right?
Right.
The virtual environment is very reliant on programming. You need to have some programming skills that I didn't have, and my company paid for it.
Yeah. So to anyone out there listening, thinking this might be a career path for you, that Cisco certification is relatively inexpensive, I think, today. And just understand that that's the cost of entry is pretty low. And from there, your employer will probably pick up your upskilling, which will make you worth more and more in the job market, correct?
Yeah, correct. You know, it's the Cisco certification, like I said, that's really just a jumping point. That's your foot in the door, mm-hmm. right? But it is up to you, right, to drive your own career and to own it. Mm-hmm. You have to own it, right? So you go and get that Cisco certification with the mindset that, you know what, this is just my first step, right? This is my foot in the door, but I want more, right? I want to make more money, or I want a different career, or a different job within my career, right? I would not tell any person to be dependent upon the job to do it for you. You have to own it. You really have to own it. So with me, even though my company sent me to additional training for programming, I had already started with my AWS certification, right? I didn't wait for my company to say, oh, okay, yeah, we're going to cloud or whatever, whatever. You know, I was watching the job boards. I saw what was happening in that space, and I saw where cloud and AWS was becoming an in-demand skill. And I invested in myself and I took that class. So when my company sent me to the programming course, I was already familiar with some of the terminology, right? Some of the programming aspects of it. By no means was I a programmer, but I had already started that trajectory, right? I had already started. But a lot of companies out here in this job market right now, the job market has changed a lot. Mm-hmm. A lot of companies invest heavily in their employees because they want to retain quality employees. And it's better for the company and it's better for their return on investment. So they definitely do it. They do not do it for everyone, right? But you have to be hungry and you have to be ambitious about it. And most companies, like I said, they definitely do it.
Well, this brings me to a question that we kind of went over when we were initially speaking, which is, what do you think that it takes to be successful in your career? You're obviously talking about having a set of skills that they're called soft skills, right? You're perceiving a problem. Employers love that before your employer comes to you. You're providing solutions. How do you view that?
Yeah, so, and being successful, especially as a minority, and especially as a woman, even more so as a woman in IT, and we're talking about IT, women are not represented well in IT.
Yeah.
Women are the minority in IT, right? So me, as a Black woman, I'm a double whammy, right? Because I'm a woman and I'm Black. It is difficult at times. You do have to have the soft people skills. You have to be able to talk to people, to connect to people, to communicate with people. But you also need to have strong technical skills, right?
Right.
But you can't just have those strong technical skills. You can have all the skills in the world, but if you cannot effectively communicate, it does not do you any good. Your career, you'll have a job, you'll keep that job, but if you want to advance, if you want to grow, if you want to move around in the company, you need to be able to connect to people and you need to be able to talk to people. So you have to balance out those soft people skills and the technical skills. You got to do both.
I think that you've brought something up, though, that I think there are a lot of people out there that they've been out in the workforce a few years and they have some work experience and some maturity they may not have had just coming out of high school. And just to discuss, it's an advantage to have these skills.
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. When I went into IT, I was 32. I wasn't a baby. I was 32 when I went into IT. Right. So that's mature. It's not where I am now, but I had some life experience. It definitely has some life experience.
Tell me another thing people tell me is something they're nervous about with IT is math.
I suck math. At math. You don't need math. It depends. I mean, I'm not going to say you don't need it. I suck at math. I'm horrible at math. That's one of my Achilles heels. Has it hurt me? No. No, not at all. Not in what I do.
So, what do you wish people understood about your job then?
That if you want to do it, you can do it. If you want to learn it, you can learn it. IT is so huge, and network engineering in itself is so huge, so huge. There are positions within network engineering where all you're going to do is fix things. Right. Something is broken and you're going to go in and fix it. Right. Mm-hmm. There are jobs in network engineering where you're just going to deploy things. You're just going to bring it up. Right. You're just going to turn it on. Right. Totally different skill set. When you're fixing things, we call it troubleshooting. Right. Mm-hmm. Everyone's not good at troubleshooting. Right. Some people are good at building. Right. Yeah. That's when you turn something on. Right. Both of those different functions fall underneath network engineering. Right. Mm-hmm. So you just have to find out what your niche is and what you like. right? Mm-hmm. What's your personal skill set? Are you a builder or are you a fixer? If you're a fixer type person, then troubleshooting may be something that you're interested in and something that you may grow in and flourish in, right? If you're a builder, then being a network engineer that does deployments may be something that you'll flourish and grow in, right? But it's not unattainable. Like, I don't have a college degree. I just graduated high school. I have a certification. I have a 2-year degree from Essex County College. And I don't even think the degree exists anymore. It was, I can't even remember it, but it has nothing to do with what I do. And it was just a 2-year degree. Yeah. So it's not, and I'm not a brainiac, right? I'm not a brainiac. I didn't graduate valedictorian from my class. You know, I didn't graduate salutatorian from my class. I'm just an average person. Average Joe, just an average, or Jane. I'm an average Jane. Nothing fancy about me. I don't have the biggest brain on the block. You know, there are people that I work with that they may consider themselves smarter than me, right? You know, but that's what they think, not what I think. But just saying, you don't underestimate yourself. Don't underestimate what you're capable of if you mm-hmm. have a dream, a goal, and if you're committed to it. Then you definitely can do it. You just commit yourself to it and you can definitely achieve it. Put in the hard work and you can do it.
Thank you, Lou. That's such an amazing, encouraging message. And I think especially for women and especially for women of color, seeing someone talk about it like you have is really inspiring. And so I just want to encourage you out there, if you're feeling restless and you're looking for more opportunity, this is a high earning career with family supporting wages, they call it. And it is. And I think, Lou, you just represent what I see succeeding for people across all professions in a way is dedication, persistence, independence. And if these things are available to you, which I think many of us might underestimate ourselves, but look at the qualities in yourself that you need every day to do what you're doing right now, even in something unpaid, like raising a family, which is incredibly demanding in a lot of ways. You do have that ability to mm-hmm. go out there, and certifications are among the best investments out there if you understand your local job market.
Yes.
So I just want to end here by talking just a few minutes about what that means to understand the local job market. Because what happens a lot to people is they'll get educated in kind of anything, and then it'll make it harder for them to enter their local job market, right? So try to understand the employers in your backyard that you might work for, right? And maybe, I don't know, it wasn't maybe such a thing when you entered, but I find that tech meetup groups can be terrific places to get a little more in-person networking. And some of them are virtual now. You can log in to any major city, because one trend for tech jobs is they are spreading out across the United States. Not all of them now are like New York, Silicon Valley. They are Baltimore, they are Austin, they are. So if you're near a metropolitan hub or even not, you can often log into a meetup group for tech careers and meet being for free with a group of people maybe doing that job you're interested in, and you'll be able to ask questions.
Yeah, when I was doing my AWS certification, there was a AWS meetup group. I never attended it, but there was an AWS meetup group. And it was just people that were pursuing their AWS certification.
Oh, and
they
great.
Would go, yeah, they would go over the material together and just troubleshoot together and just motivate, you know, each other to get through the certification. There are a lot of blogs out there. There are a lot of websites. One of them is Reddit. Reddit is one that I've Great. Used heavily. Another one is, we use Reddit and I can't think of it. But there are definitely a lot of websites out there and blogs. You just have to be hungry for it. Let me tell you, if you're hungry enough and you want it bad enough, you're going to find the information, right? Because you're not going to give up. You're just going to keep, you're going to go to Google or whatever browser that you use, and you're just going to start popping in words and just keep looking and looking and looking until you find what you're looking for, right? That's that persistence, and that's that owning your own career, mm-hmm. right? And motivating yourself. If you want it bad enough, you're going to find that information because it is out there. And it's so attainable. It's so attainable.
Lou, you're just a great coach, and thank you for coming on today. I'm really so grateful that you gave us some of your time, and I hope everyone out there is feeling inspired and that your questions were asked. Please remember to leave questions and comments if you have them, what you would like to see and learn more about tech careers. I will be posting some of the links that Lou mentioned, so that you guys can easily take a look at the Reddit and some of the online education providers. So,
thank you. Thank you for having me. Thank you.